4th Annual Homecoming Celebration. In unusual circumstances this year, we are going to miss our catered lunch, but we have a catered blessing of spiritual feast from Greenville, South Carolina, and we want to welcome the team from Majesty Music, who have wonderfully been working with us in making possible the presentations that are done today.
Well, it's a distinct honor and privilege for us to be with you at your homecoming service. We're coming to you live from South Carolina, so quite a ways away. We had initially planned this day much differently. When we were coming into 2020, we had all sorts of plans and ideas of things that we were going to do. And most of them have changed, as I'm sure most of them have changed for you. But we're so glad that we're able to continue with the concert and do this. It's a lot of background work with your church tech team and ours. So we want to thank both groups that are doing all this work to make this possible. 2020 as a year has been a wild ride. And I know it has been for all of you. As you think back, a worldwide pandemic, natural disasters, racial relations and protests and anxieties and riots breaking out in the streets and political uncertainty. It literally just seems like a constant stream of bad news. It's been a year really of seismic cultural changes, everyone wearing masks and being locked in their homes and anxiety and fear of the unknown at an all-time high, even in our homes and in our communities. And it's tempting for a second to think, you know, how are we going to get out of this? What's the future going to be like? What is our future? And it's easy to go to a place of fear and anxiety. But the fact is, we as believers know that there has not been a second of 2020 that God hasn't been in complete and total control. He has a plan even through all of this. He's not lost control. He knew it was going to happen. He's got complete control of the situation, and he's got a purpose for it. In Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. To everything, there's a season. And the song that my wife Megan is going to sing in a minute comes out of that text in Ecclesiastes. And the text kind of goes through all these different major things in the human existence, life and death and work and play and harvest and times of plenty and times of scarcity. And they're so important to humans. The changing of the seasons and the changing of the tides and they seem so vast and grand to us. And they're the most, you know, tangible, important things in our lives, but to God, they're ephemera. They're vapors. They're vanities. They're trivialities. And the most important things to our worldly existence, God is so far above time and vast with his power and so much grander and greater than we could even begin to comprehend. And later in Ecclesiastes, in that chapter, it mentions that all these works, all these amazing things that we see, that God is doing and the purposes that he's moving and bringing about are to cause men to fear him, to worship him. And in a time like 2020, when things are getting at their most anxious, we're seeing the true weaknesses of man and of government and of ourselves. What it causes us as believers to do is fall back and come to our great God, our creator, our sustainer, the one who's in control of everything, the changeless one of eternity that we can trust for every moment of our lives. So Megan's going to sing the song that comes out of that chapter in Ecclesiastes, "To Everything There Is a Season."
A time for night and day, for work and play. A time to live, a time to die. So I will trust in God, the changeless one of eternity. The seasons change, the flowers wither, the years bring age and memories fade. The only solid place to place your faith is in the one who orders time. So I will trust in God, the changeless one of eternity. For every life there is a reason, a master plan God has ordained. A loving God who made and then forgave, who numbered each and every day. So I will trust in God, the changeless one of eternity. So I will trust in God, the changeless one of eternity. So Adam, how that song really applies to this last year and to 2020 and all the ups and downs and things we've experienced. When we were writing that song, we were actually really thinking about our ministry and how it was changing hands a little bit. And my dad, as many of you probably know, has frontotemporal dementia. And so that's really changed the ministry, as in he was the main songwriter and the captain of the ship here. So that's been a lot of change for us. And we, now my dad's going to, through a video that we've recorded a few years ago, is going to share a testimony of how he wrote a song for his father after his father passed away. And then we're going to be able to play a video of him singing that. And we have lyrics down at the bottom so that you can join along in singing that song with him.
Ahoy, mates. I grew up in northern Indiana, working alongside my dad. My dad was an electrician, and every summer we'd go together to all the job sites, and he called me his soil engineer because I was the one that dug the trenches to put the conduit and run the wire through. We did a lot of gas stations, and it was lots of fun being with my dad all summer. Then when I went away to Bible college, Dr. Garlock took me under his wing and began to train me and show me how to be a musician, how to write music, how to play the trombone, how to sing, how to lead a choir. And he became my mentor, and so I began to glean from his wisdom, and it was a wonderful experience. 13 years before my father passed away, he got Alzheimer's disease, and we just gradually watched him fade until he wasn't there. And it was he remained sweet, he remained kind, but he just faded away. I'll never forget it because we were on the music college tour, and I got a call from my mom saying, your father is near death. You need to come as soon as possible. And so I, right at the end of the music college, I took off to go home, and he passed away probably 2-3 hours before we got there. My mom asked me to speak at my dad's funeral, and as I contemplated doing that, several things hit me. One thing that hit me was, as I really respected my father-in-law and he impacted me in so many, many ways, I realized that my nature was a lot more like my dad. And as I contemplated my dad and his godly influence that he had on me, I was blown away by just the idea that here was the guy that had really impacted my life in the most substantial way. So I came up with the idea of writing a song to describe the influence that a father has on his kids. And I wrote this about my dad. It's called I Saw Jesus in You. And it's important to remember, dads, that we have unbelievable influence on our kids. And so it's important that we live out our Christianity before them every day and let them see Jesus in us.
I see my Savior's face. I will offer him 10,000 years of praise. Then I'll find that special one In his life I saw God's Son, and through tears of joy with trembling lips these words I'll say, I saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said, I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care, I could see his love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you. My soul is bathed in God's eternal day. When this race on earth is run, and God sees the works I've done, more than anything I long to hear my Father say, I saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said, I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care, I could see his love was there. And I saw Jesus in you. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you.
Going to be hearing from several team members that we have with us today, and so I wanted to kind of give you a sense of who everyone is so you can know. You just heard from Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate, and Ron's wife Shelley. Shelley Hamilton is at the piano. She was Sissy Siegel, so you've heard the Patch Adventures. That was her character. And then we have Tara Solomon Hamilton. She recently married Micah Hamilton, who is Ron and Shelley's nephew. So she's now a niece-in-law. And then Megan is the one who sang earlier. That's my wife, Megan Hamilton. She was Princess Pirate still is, on the adventures. And we got married four or five years ago?
Four and a half.
See, she knows. And I'm Adam Morgan. And we came on probably 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago at Majesty, and started writing the Patch Adventures and the music, and kind of took the baton from Ron and Shelley, and we really enjoy doing that. And this is Benjamin David Needler. If you've seen his name on music before, he's an arranger, and he also arranges with us and does a lot of choral music, and came on to Majesty earlier this year. And then later you'll be hearing from Dr. Garlock and from Jason Hamilton, the youngest Hamilton son, and he was PJ Pirate, if you follow the adventures. But we really are very excited to be with you. Like I said, we had it planned differently. We would much prefer to be with you in person, but we're very grateful that we have the technological ability to do this and be able to continue ministering with you and hopefully being a blessing. So the next song that we're going to sing comes out of our brand new Patch the Pirate Adventure, Mystery Island. It actually comes out tomorrow. So you guys are hearing a song from it. It doesn't actually release until tomorrow. But in the adventure, the Mystery Island theme, it was ironic because we started the theme before COVID, but the whole kind of theme and shtick of the adventure is this mystery, uncertainty, rumor and legend surrounding this long abandoned island, and everyone's afraid to go near it. And the the Jolly Roger and the crew with Patch's crew have to face their fears and face the unknown and go and kind of investigate the island to see what's causing all these unknown disturbances. And ships have gone disappearing and there's weird, creepy noises. And so they think maybe somebody is putting on, you know, maybe trying to scare people away from the island. So the crew is going to go investigate and solve the mystery. And I know that there's probably kids watching, so I don't want to give anything away about the ending, which is kind of hard to do as I explain it. But I'm trying to dodge around without stepping on any landmines. So if you're a kid, just plug your ears. And I'll try still not to give the ending away. But there is a person that the crew runs into through the adventure who still believes that that World War II is going on. And if you know the history, there actually were Japanese holdout soldiers in World War II who went in hiding and believed that the war was, you know, didn't believe that the war ended or kept believing that the war was going on and kept fighting for a war that had ended years before. The last one that was founded was in the late 70s. And there's even been rumors of sightings even into the 2005, 2009, 80, 90 year old men still hiding in the woods and in the jungle fighting a war that was over. And the kind of the themes with Mystery Island, you get to that and they kind of face this person. They tell them the truth. You know, this war, this thing you've lived for, that this thing you've given your identity to for your whole life was wrong. Like it's based on a lie. The war ended and you never found out. And what you believed was untrue. And it's kind of this identity crisis for this person. It comes to like the crux of will he believe this new truth that goes against everything he's ever heard and ever believed and ever lived for, or will he reject it? And it's such a perfect analogy for the gospel. And because so many of us, when we're lost, we live all these things. We live untruths. We live as though we have the rest of eternity. You know, we don't have anyone to answer to, and we're the final decision on any truth, and we can live how we want. And there's no just judgment coming, and all the different lies that people believe. And the best moment, I think, of the adventure is as they're telling this person, and he goes, I've read this before. I've heard this before. The gospel, they share the gospel with him. I've read this before, but how can it be? Like, can it be true that a man who came and died 2,000 years ago, can it be that he is the answer for all of our world's problems today? Can it be that God, the God we talked about, this high and lofty God of eternity that's so far above us, can it be that he would take an interest in me and in you, in our lives, in our salvation? Can it be that he would come and send his son to die for us? And can it be that we have this hope of heaven and this eternal existence that we're going to be able to, live forever? Can it all those things be true? And it's a point of faith. You have to come to faith of, yes, it is. You either believe it or you reject it. And that's where this new song that we wrote that is in that moment in the adventure where the person hears the gospel and they're accepting it. Can it be that Christ, that Jesus is the one, the answer to all of our problems, the answer to the ultimate question of life, who are we, who is our Savior? And the answer is yes. Can it be? Yes, it is.
What a world so broken needs today. Can it be that he truly is the only Son of God who healed the sick and even raised the dead? Can it be that he's living today? That he conquered the grave. Can it be that a soul who will call on his name shall be free? Can it be? Can it be? Can it be? And bore the wrath for all my sin and shame.
can it be, his amazing love, his merciful and free, to die for me, the one who
can sing the song of liberty, and I boldly can approach the throne and
high. Can it be that he's free today? Let it be, let it be, a soul who will call on his name shall be free. Can it be?
Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
In shame, condemned and guilty, I come to you and call upon your name. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, and wash me white as snow. My sin is ever before me, Lord, have mercy on my soul.
And wash me.
snow.
That song was written by Ron Hamilton back sometime in the 80s, so before I was born. But as we go into the next segment, we're going to hear from Dr. Frank Garlock. And Dr. Garlock is the founder of Majesty Music. He actually started writing arrangements, I believe it was in the 60s, doing choral arrangements, and started, people would ask for him, and he would, you know, start selling them and giving them to churches, and was traveling around speaking. And a couple years later, they decided to start Majesty Music. I think it was Musical Ministries or something back then. And we're with you at homecoming, at your homecoming service. And I just happened to be struck by the obvious similarities with us having Dr. Garlock, because we're in a different season now. We've actually, Majesty has gone through kind of three different big phases. And Meg and I are just the new, you know, the young new people as we start kind of a third generation of a ministry. But your homecoming is a time when you look back at what God has done for your church, what the blessings that he's given, the growth, the things that that really he's been able to do through your ministry. And it got me thinking, I think it's so great to be able to have Dr. Garlock with us, because I start thinking about the profound impact that really Dr. Garlock and Ron and Shelley have had. As Dr. Ennis mentioned a little bit earlier, they, starting out, they're just writing music. They're just trying to write music for churches to worship God with, and we'll see if it, you know, people want it. And the patch, you know, they did a recording for kids, you know, maybe some people enjoy this and get a blessing out of it. And I was telling my wife last night, I was playing around with some of our streaming platforms. You know, there's all these new stream platforms where you can look at, you know, Spotify and just all sorts of random ones. And we have a bunch of music on some of those. And I was blown away when I realized that in 30 days, there were 1 million streams of music. And I know you wouldn't have ever heard that before, but that just, it blew my mind to think that you could have, you know, a lot of that stuff is, you know, Ron and Shelley and even Dr. Garlock. And to think that in a couple of days or, you know, a couple of weeks time frame, 1 million different things have been watched and listened to. You can't imagine that, almost that kind of impact. But it came from people who just wanted to use their gifts and talents for God. They, you know, wrote and did things that worshiped him and focused on him and, you know, got it to churches, and God blessed it. And it's not the people, because really God can use anybody. And as you look to the future, we were talking about this time of uncertainty and anxiety. And to think at my age, as a young person, and a lot of you watching, you know, kids or young people, you know, God's going to do great things now and in the next, you know, next few years. And we definitely want to look back and honor the past and be excited about the heritage we have. But God, we can be a part of the building God's kingdom. We can be a part of exciting, amazing things that God is going to bless and really have a profound impact in your church, in your community, and change the world around us. And it's something to get excited for, to look forward to. And so, like I said, I think it's a wonderful thing to be with you in with your homecoming service, as you look to the future of who knows how many years of growth and ministry that God has planned for you and your church. So we, you know, I knew your church long before we even set this up. I'd heard of it because you've had an impact in your community. So we thank you for partnering with us. We thank you for the opportunity to be with you. And we're now going to hear from Dr. Frank Garlock, and then a song, actually Dr. Garlock's song that he wrote many years ago, Jason Hamilton is going to sing.
I'm Frank Garlock, and I'm the man who started Majesty Music many years ago. Looking back at it, I can't believe all the opportunities that God has given us to serve him through this ministry that he's opened to us. I was in a motel one afternoon. I remember the motel very clearly, but I can't remember where it was, where they had told me when I got to that place that most of the audience is going to be opposed to me. And I've told this over and over again. Whenever I face a situation like that, I said to God, I'm not up to this. I'm not ready for this. Lord, I'm just an ordinary guy. I don't have any special talents. But Lord, you brought me to this place, and if you want me to serve you, and I'll do the best I can. And as I was down by my bed, in the motel room, it wasn't a fancy motel, if I remember right, just an ordinary bed. I'm down by the bed, praying and asking God to help me, knowing I was not sufficient for the situation.
And God brought this song, I call it My Life is Thine. And I dedicated it to God that day. And I want to read some of the words to you because I want you to see how I was saying to God what was in my heart. By the way, I took the song home. I got out of bed, but while I was down by on my knees, got out a piece of music paper, which I always carried with me, and wrote out the melody and the words, pretty much as you're going to hear them this afternoon. And I understand somebody's going to sing the song later on. Shelley's made a special arrangement of it that you will hear. But God gave me that song while I was praying. And I wrote it out, brought it home to Shelley, or brought it home to my wife, Flora Jean, and she made an accompaniment for it that we still use because she was always a part of what I did. Because the first stanza says, Lord Jesus, I give thee everything. And I wanted God to know that I was completely dedicating myself to the Lord. I didn't want to hold anything back to him. And that's what the song says. But to thy cross I cling. I said, Lord, that's all I can claim. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm still a sinner, but I've been saved by your grace. So I'm going to cling to your cross. Then I said, Lord Jesus, I humbly pray, receive the gifts I bring today. Now, I knew the gifts weren't much. But I said, Lord, if you can use this, I've said this several times in watching myself, and probably if I watch what I'm saying to you today, I'm going to say, if God can use that, he can use anything. But Lord, I said, whatever gifts you've given me, I'm going to use them for you because my life is yours. My life is thine. And then I added my will, my talents, and my time. My will is yours. I want to dedicate my will to God. And I love the Proverbs. I don't know if you do it. I do it regularly. I take the month of the day of the month. Like on the first day of the month, I read Proverbs 1. On the second day of the month, 2. All the way through the 31 chapters. And God speaks to my heart. Like when it says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And I like what the Spanish says. The main thing is the fear of God. To have it and say, Lord, my will is yours. My talents are yours. You gave them to me. I'm just giving them back to you. And my time is yours. Whatever time you give me, I want to give it to you. That's the first stanza. But then the second stanza. And I mean this from my heart. I said, Lord Jesus, I need thee more each day. I'm still aware of that. I'm almost 90 years. But I realize, Lord, I need you more each day. Just being as old as I am does not make me immune from sin. And I want to be like the Apostle Paul. Lord, don't let me come to the end of my life and fail you. I'm very much aware of my pastor here in Greenville, South Carolina, John Monroe of Faith Baptist Church, says every one of us is at a point where we can make a failure that would ruin our whole life's testimony. So I said, Lord, I need you more each day. Lord Jesus, control my thoughts, I pray. Lord, I'm going to be speaking for you. You control my thoughts. Don't say anything that is against what you would want. Then I said, my Savior, to thee I bow. Come, melt me, mold me, use me now, Lord. I want to be used by you. Now, I don't want to be glorified. Lord, I want to be used by you. Lord Jesus, and here it comes. Here is my heart. And that's what I like what George Eastergaard said about me. He said, when I see your song, I see your heart. Now, Lord, I want you to hear, here's my heart. Cleanse and fill its inmost part. Lord, you take control of my heart. And then the third stanza, Lord Jesus, and I have to admit that this is true, and it's still true today, Lord Jesus, although my flesh is weak, I realize that as a 90-year-old man, my flesh is still weak. I could still give in to my flesh. I know too many preachers who have preached the gospel but have allowed some fleshly temptation get them out of the ministry and ruin their testimony for God. And I'm still asking God, Lord, I know my flesh is weak, but then it is thy will I seek. Lord, I want your will, even though my flesh, please overrule my flesh and let my will be yours. Make my will what your will is. Then, my Lord Jesus, my God and King, Lord, you're my God, but you're also my King. I bow before you. Accept the simple gifts. And I realize that any gifts I give to God, he gave to me, but they're just simple gifts I'm giving back to him. I am thine own. Come rule as King on my heart's throne. And I could sing that today and mean it from my heart. But it came out of a time when I knew I was facing a situation that I was not up to. And I like what the Apostle Paul said, my strength is strong when my flesh is weak. And the weaker I am, God uses my weakness when I commit my weakness to his strength and realize it's only God has done this. I mentioned also today, and I cried when I said it, about my wife, a book that I've written about Flora Jean. We served 68 years together in 50 countries. And boy, she stayed with me through all those times. I got to be with her, thank the Lord, when she went to be with the Lord. I was there that day. Just a couple of days before, she was only breathing about once every 20 seconds. And I kept saying, go ahead and go. You can go to the heaven. But I would cry when I said it. And on Sunday morning at 11:15, I said it without crying, and I kissed her, and she was gone. And I thanked the Lord for the girl that God gave me. I mentioned before, she was a genius. You watch her piano things, and I took her piano arrangements and put them on my computer by listening on my ears to what she was doing with her mind, and she made the arrangements, and she was creative, doing several melodies all at the same time. People listen to that, and I say, even I listen, I say, how could she do that? But God gave her to me. I could not have accomplished what God has given me if he hadn't given me that wife. And so I'm so thankful that my life, my joy has been not only in doing what God gave me to do through music, and I'm so glad he did, but more than that, he gave it to me so I could use it to bring him the glory and make my life be a testimony for what was in my heart and what I want others to see.
Lord Jesus, I give thee everything. Lord Jesus, but to thy cross I cling. My Savior, I humbly pray. Receive the gifts I bring today. My life is thine, my will, my talents, and my time. Lord Jesus, I need thee more each day. Lord Jesus, control my thoughts, I pray. My Savior, to thee I bow. Come, melt me, mold me, use me now. Lord Jesus, here is my heart. Oh, cleanse and fill its inmost part. Lord Jesus, although my flesh is weak, Lord Jesus,
my Savior, my God and King. Accept the simple gifts I bring. Lord Jesus, I am thine own. Come, rule as King on my heart's throne. My life is
thine. Travel down many roads in this journey called life. Some roads are smooth, straight, and easy, and some roads are curvy, bumpy, and just rough. Sometimes the roads are so easy that we can almost put our life on auto control, but sometimes the roads are so rough that we have to keep our eyes glued to the road and to our GPS. You know, God created the world to be beautiful and good. Satan, through Adam and Eve, brought sin, sickness, sorrow, sadness, and death. Satan wants us to believe that bad things happen because God is not good, but it is instead because he is evil. You know, I am glad God did not create me to be a robot, but gave me the gift of choice, even though he knew in advance that I would choose to sin, thereby necessitating him leaving his home in heaven, or sending his son, Jesus, to leave his home in heaven and come to this sin-ridden world and die a horrible death on the cross. This, in actuality, is the goodness of God, because he gave mankind a choice of salvation. God's goodness cannot be put into a box. You know, we sometimes think that we can understand God's goodness, but a human perspective does not give an exhaustive understanding of it. Satan, we know, is our enemy and allows bad things to happen in our life because he wants to destroy us. God allows hard things to come into our life because he is our friend and he wants to make us better. I just want to tell you a brief story about Ron's and my oldest son, Jonathan. Jonathan, his sophomore year of college, had the opportunity to sing Ron's song of testimony, Rejoice in the Lord, on a Vespers program at Bob Jones University, and he did a wonderful job. Just about a month later, Jonathan was having a little bit of trouble with acne, so I encouraged him to go to the dermatologist and go on an antibiotic, is what the doctor suggested, putting him on an antibiotic called Bactrim, or sometimes called Septra. Jonathan did this, and he very soon afterwards started having some strange behavior. He stopped eating his meals. He said he was nervous all the time, just walking down the sidewalk at school at Bob Jones made him feel like he was singing again on Vespers. His heart would just start pounding and racing. So I called the dermatologist's office and asked them, could it possibly be the antibiotic Jonathan is on? And the nurse there said, no, it's not that. But several months later, after 4 months of Jonathan being on this antibiotic, I took another one of our children to the dermatologist. And I asked him at that time, I told him about Jonathan's nervousness and not eating well, and the doctor said, it's the antibiotic, get him off of it. And I said, are you sure? Your nurses told me it wasn't. And three times, emphatically, he told me, get Jonathan off of the antibiotic. So I said, well, how long till he comes back to himself? And he said, probably in about 2 weeks. Well, we took him off the antibiotic, and 2 weeks came and went, but Jonathan did not come back to himself. He started laying in bed all the time. He sometimes beat his head against the wall. He stopped talking almost completely. He sometimes tore his shirt into shreds. We took him to multiple doctors, psychiatrists, and they finally, after 7 years, found a combination of psychiatric medicines that helped Jonathan to function partly. He was able to work part-time, and he started writing music. He started sitting at the piano and writing music, and he started coming back to more of the Jonathan that we had once known. He loved to do dinner for me, so I didn't have to do it. And he would always tell me after dinner, "Don't clean up the dishes. I'll do it tomorrow, Mom. I'm just too tired." The combination of three medicines he was on made him sleep 14, 15 hours a night. He started working at our shipping at Majesty Music, and the guys here loved him. Nathan Lloyd, our office manager, became a very dear friend to Jonathan. But unfortunately, after about 15 years, Jonathan's name brand medicine, generic, started coming out for his name brand medicine, Zyprexa. And the insurance would not cover these the name brand anymore. So we went on a search for generics. We couldn't afford the $1,000 a month Zyprexa cost. So we went on a search for generics. And we went on a four-month search and never did find one. We finally found one that Jonathan said, "Mom, this is the best I've ever felt." And Ron went to refill it, and we found out that the company stopped making that particular generic. So we went, continued on the search, and unbeknownst to us, Jonathan finally took himself off of all of his medicines because the side effects were so bad. And we found out later it was because we kept going on and off different generics. You know, generic only has to be 80% of what the name brand has to be. So that little 20% made a big difference for our Jonathan. But to make a long story short, on Mother's Day, May 12th, 2013, our precious son took his life. And you know, sometimes we see things that happen to us. We see that, you know, Romans 8:28, God says, "And I will work all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And sometimes we get to see that good. Like with Ron losing his left eye to cancer, he became Patch the Pirate, and we got to see good. But, excuse me. Sometimes there are things that happen to us that we don't understand that good, even though we know that God's promise is always true. You know, we have only the dashboard view. God has the helicopter view. And I think of our lives as a quilt. You know, God is working on the quilt. And when we're working on that, we just see the back and all the strings, you know, and it doesn't make sense and it's not beautiful. But I think in heaven, when we get to heaven, God will be able to see the beautiful side of the quilt and what God was doing in our lives. Right now, my husband Ron has dementia, as you may know. He's had it for 10 years. It's called, his type is called frontotemporal dementia. And he is declining. He doesn't talk very much. He sits on the couch most of the day. I have to feed him sometimes. Sometimes he can feed himself. But we know God is working good out of this as well. I don't know what that good is, but I know that something glorious is going to be worked out of it. Jonathan, during those 7 years, when he was able to write songs, the last song he wrote before he died was a beautiful tune. And I tried to write some words to it myself because I grappled with, is God really good during Jonathan's illness, the first part of his illness? And I finally realized what I told you at the very beginning, that Satan is the reason for bad things. God is good. He is our friend. And he has provided salvation for us through the death of his son on the cross. And I wanted to portray that in one of Jonathan's tunes. And I wasn't very successful, so I sent the tune to our friend, Pastor Chris Anderson. and he wrote the lyrics, beautiful lyrics, portraying what I wanted to say myself but couldn't, that God is always only good. And Megan and Adam are going to sing that for us now.
I can see my frailty, my sin is great, and my strength is so small. Still you stay, and your mercy shelters me. You hold my hand, and you hear my call.
You are always good, you are only good. You
final song that we're going to sing is a new song that's actually come out this year, and it's entitled The Just Shall Live by Faith, and it is written by, the words were written by Pastor Chris Anderson. Many of you might be familiar with him. He's a modern hymn writer, a wonderful lyricist who's written many beautiful hymns, including His Robes for Mine, My Jesus Fair, and many others. And the text, the music that he set the text to is actually also written by Jonathan. So the last song that we sung, Jonathan wrote the music for, and he wrote the music for this one as well. And justice is the theme of justice. It's such an important thing that people over the years have focused on. The ancient Greeks were obsessed with the idea and concept of justice. All of us spend our lives pursuing what we think is a just life. In my other life, I'm an attorney, and anyone that goes into law, that's what you pursue for 3 years, is the study of what is justice, and you argue about what it is. And from a human perspective, it's so difficult to answer. But God provides us such clear understanding of what it is in His revelation to us. And this song, the concept that we can be declared righteous, that we can have righteousness, because we all know we're guilty. Every human knows that we're guilty. We know that we've sinned. We know that we're fallen. And that's why people are so obsessed with pursuing the concept of justice and reaching some kind of state of justice. But we as Christians have the exact answer that people are craving. How do I seek justice? How do I become a just person? The answer is the just live by faith. We're justified not by our works, not by something we've done, but through Christ's work, what He's done. And us, by our faith in that, in fully trusting and resting in Him as our Savior and what He's done for us. And the text comes from Romans, where Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And we have the answer that the world desperately needs. How do they find justice? How do they right the wrong and fix the and heal the broken world around us? It's through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Savior. God is the only person we can place our faith in. The just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith.
we'll close our song time, all singing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Changest not my counsels, they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever with me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. While I have been in thy hand have provided, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning, light, morning, it's my sin.
Sing on the last.
Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, my own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, mercies I see. All I have given, I have provided. Great is thy.